right, little breaking news, everybody. Little breaking news. Mustache Man was backstage at Raw, gorilla position. You know what that means, everyone. Tonight's show sucked. It sucked. Tonight's show is one of the worst of all time. It sucked. It's kind of funny when you actually take a step back. You think about the stuff that is good with regards to WWE. Everybody seems to forget about Vince McMahon's name, but when things suck, oh, he's writing it. He's remote. He's doing this. He's doing that. Eat a Snickers. Seriously. Stop. Tonight's Raw, probably my favorite of 2023. And listen, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that every moment tonight was an absolute banger. But as far as a full show from beginning to end, probably my favorite Raw. Again, let me repeat what I just said. There's been moments on Raw since January that have been better. But as far as a full 3-hour episode, yeah, I thought today was a banger, man. Kevin Owens and Gunther, we didn't even expect that match to go down. Might be match of the year as far as Monday Night Raw so far. Damian Priest, Seth Rollins. You know, maybe you won't remember little intricate moments of the match. But man, do they work good. And man, is Damian Priest going to be an explosive babyface when he returns to the good side. You know, now you got to start asking yourself, you know, there's been little rumblings that someone may be exiting Judgment Day soon, and JD McDonagh may be taking someone's place. The question is it Damian Priest? Is it Finn Balor? Are we going to gradually get rid of the old and in with the new? Because Edge, a little bit over the hill, that's why Judgment Day got rid of him. Damian Priest, I mean, they're not going to acknowledge his age on the show, but maybe you get rid of him in favor of JD McDonagh. And then down the line, somebody gets rid of Finn Balor in place of somebody else. We'll see. But I really enjoyed tonight's Raw. We will definitely go over it in a few moments. Got a couple of tidbits that I wanted to share with everyone tonight. Got a whole bunch of ratings. I know by now most of you out there are aware Raw just blew the ratings away when it comes to this past Friday on SmackDown. And I tell you, not taking as many notes for this weekend shows kind of pissed me off. I took a lot more notes tonight, a lot of screenshots as well. But I rewatched the whole Usos, Roman Reigns, Solo Sikoa segment from Friday. And I tell you, it every aspect of it, they are hitting it on all cylinders. And it just goes to show you that, you know, it doesn't always have to be about five-star matches. When you have a nice balance, good storylines, good matches, good character development, you know, just an overall, you know, even distribution. You know, you make everybody happy. And listen, I don't want to be the asshole, but you got to call it out. You know, people are going to find reasons tonight to crap on something. And the thing that, you know, I keep thinking to myself is Cody Rhodes and Dominic Mysterio. And I'll open up with a little news, and then I'll show you what I want to show you. There's a lot of rumors. Got to take it as rumors right now. And I think that these rumors are legit. There's a lot of rumors that Cody Rhodes and Brock Lesnar will not take place until SummerSlam. You know, we are 4 weeks away, you know, one day less than 4 weeks to Money in the Bank. And yesterday on the sit-down episode, we actually talked about Cody and Brock and thought about, okay, there's four Raws left leading into Money in the Bank. And if we even brought this up yesterday, if Brock does not appear tonight, he almost has to appear next Monday on Raw if there is any chance of that match going down at Money in the Bank. if you paid close attention to Cody Rhodes tonight, and Cody Rhodes saying that Brock has decided to go back into hibernation. And then when you take a step back and you think to yourself, Cody, you know, saying any building I'm in, any arena, any state, I'm going to call out Brock Lesnar. That promo would not mean much if Brock Lesnar answered the challenge in 1 week. The Miz reiterated that comment that the Miz, that Cody Rhodes brought up last week. The Miz tonight on Miz TV said that, you know, you called out Brock and you said any building you're in, isn't that kind of stupid? So the fact that they are keeping that in our heads, that's the storyline for the present. Storyline is that Cody's going to have to bait and bait. We actually joked yesterday on a sit-down that Cody may have to take a jab at Sable. Not mention her name, but he might have to take a joke, cut a promo, and say, we know who wears the pants in the family. You know, something to really piss off Brock Lesnar, because it seems like Cody is going to be calling and challenging and calling and calling and going to take a lot to get Brock to show up. Now, this segues into Dominic Mysterio. Now, if you remember the conversation we had about 3 weeks ago, remember the thumbnail that I did on the Don Tony Show episode that had Brock Lesnar, Paul Heyman, and Roman Reigns on it? And we talked about the conspiracy storyline that Paul Heyman is making deals with various individuals to anybody who is deemed a threat to Roman Reigns. Paul Heyman has had a handshake deal with. Remember, we saw visible on camera Paul Heyman shaking the hand of Imperium. And, you know, the storyline, Matt Riddle, you know, if he wins Money in the Bank, he wants to challenge Roman Reigns or Seth Rollins' title, and here's Gunther showing up, you know, why don't you challenge me? Why don't you challenge me instead? And then remember, we saw Paul Heyman with the handshake, you know, to others, to Judgment Day, not too long ago. And maybe a little bit of alliance with Judgment Day and, you know, the Bloodline for a short period of time. Point I'm bringing up is that WWE could go so many different directions with that. But one thing is for certain, you know, the Judgment Day, you know, making a deal with Paul Heyman and having Dominic Mysterio coming out today to call out Cody Rhodes. All right, yes, we still don't know in storyline why Brock Lesnar attacked Cody Rhodes. My friends, please take a step back for a second and think about it. The Bloodline storyline has been so good. Everything with Jimmy and Jay and Solo and Paul Heyman and Roman Reigns and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and Cody Rhodes, even though people still upset about WrestleMania 39, the Bloodline storyline has been so good. Why do you feel that Cody's storyline is going to be so bad? Why do you think that WWE would be so sloppy as to not cover Brock Lesnar and why he attacked Cody Rhodes? We may not find out for a month, and it could end up being a conspiracy that Paul Heyman made a deal with Brock Lesnar behind Roman Reigns' back to take out Cody Rhodes because Cody was a legit threat to Roman Reigns' championship. I mean, that could be a way to go. Plus, Brock Lesnar likes beating the fuck out of people. Brock could just cut a promo one day and somebody could say, why did you originally attack Cody? Because I felt like it. You know, I mean, think about the Brock Lesnar character. Would you contest that? Would you dispute it? Probably not. My point is that when you see this Bloodline storyline and everything about Roman Reigns hitting on all cylinders, why insist that everything else with Cody is misfiring, that it makes no sense, that it's just going nowhere? The Dominic Mysterio Cody Rhodes interaction tonight is what we call the scenic route. We've talked about the scenic route many times since August. Remember, Drew McIntyre was taking on Roman Reigns at Clash at the Castle. But they had to do the scenic route. Remember Sheamus? Oh, I couldn't fight today. And the match was postponed, and something that should have been decided in 1 week took almost four. And then at the end, we knew what the destination was. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens reuniting. We expected it to happen a month earlier. But they decided not to do it right away, and they waited until Elimination Chamber. And I remember in real time those weeks leading up to it, and everybody's like, wow, you know, why have they not done the move yet? They've done it with the Usos. They have taken their sweet time, sometimes too long. And it's not just the bloodline. It's happened in other storylines as well. I mean, the Bray Wyatt stuff turned into a fiasco because they waited and waited and waited and waited and waited the reveal and postponed and waited and waited. And it got so far beyond, you know, it's, you know, sometimes you take the scenic route, but you know what your destination is. And you take too many cute little turns. Oh, let's check over here, honey. Oh, let's go over here. Wow, we never went over here before. Next thing you know, you're fucking lost. And now you don't know your way back. That happens. Sometimes you take too long. But Dominic Mysterio and Cody Rhodes is the scenic route. If we're not getting Brock Lesnar versus Cody until SummerSlam, what do you want Cody to do? Do we want to see a comeback video package that every week Cody's rehabbing the arm? Come on. I mean, this is wrestling. This is entertainment. People are dotting the I's and crossing the T's and splitting hairs about every little thing. Just sit back and relax. Cody Rhodes versus Brock appears not going to happen until SummerSlam. So what do you want Cody to do from now for a couple of months? You'd rather him stay on the shelf in storyline because he's got a fractured arm. By the way, they never really revealed how bad the break was. Could have been a hairline. It could have totally separated. We don't know. Fucking pro wrestling. This is not fucking real life, you know, as far as like, we're going to see x-rays and physicians and stuff like that. So, come on. I mean, maybe Cody will bait Brock Lesnar to come back. And maybe Cody is not as injured as he says that he is. Just sit back. Other things are working so well. Have a little faith that maybe this isn't so bad. But for others out there that act so confused about what's going on, had no idea that the Usos were going to feud with Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa, a match that you and I have been talking about for over 2 months. If some people out there, to you, see me either a little too stupid or a little too ignorant about the obvious, the stuff that we talk about every week, remember this picture. And I'm sorry if this torments some of your childhood. Believe me, one of my favorite cartoons of all time, Beavis and Butthead, ended up being my favorite. But growing up, it was nothing like watching Tom and Jerry. So if people figure out the story, whatever storyline you want to choose, if they know what the deal is and they share with you straight up, look at Lacey Evans and Sergeant Slaughter. We put that to bed yesterday in 5 minutes. And people are dragging this out and turning it into something that it's not. And they're not stupid. But remember this. Remember this. If Tom kills Jerry, the cartoon is over. If they tell you straight up what's going on and not act ignorant and act like they don't know where the fuck this is going and where is this going and where's that going and where this is going, if they tell you straight up from day one, then that's it. There's nothing else to talk about. Might as well finish the show now. Good night, everybody. So, you know, we know where this is going to go. We know Cody's going to finish the story. Let it play out. You know, it's not like you're typing in your, you know, your MapQuest and you want to go to point A and point to point B. And MapQuest tells you, you'll be there in 44 minutes. Turn left here. Turn right here. Hey, stupid, go straight. You know, if it takes a little bit longer, so be it. If WWE takes the scenic route, accept it, because that's what they've been doing. They're taking the scenic route, and they're using far less people than they used to use. Just sit back and enjoy it. That's my honest opinion. That is my honest opinion. So, all right. Two things I wanted to share with you. I wrote it in the comment section. I wanted to send a little congratulations, if you're not aware of it. Over the weekend, Omos got married. Yep, he got married on Thursday. I know some of you out there are going to be like, Thursday? Why would you get married on Thursday? Probably because, you know, some wrestlers may had to appear for house shows over the weekend. He had SmackDown on Friday. His real name, I mean, we know him as Jordan Omagbeheen. I think that's how you pronounce his last name. But his first name is actually Tololupe Omagbeheen. And he got married to his fiance over the weekend. What's her name? Cheyenne. And here is a little screenshot. There you go. There is the happy couple. And he did have some wrestlers that appeared. I didn't put these little captions on it. I just figured I'd show you. There's Bobby Lashley, MVP. Scripps. Reggie was there. Ricochet was there. And, yeah, congratulations to him, man. You know, I like Omos. I root for Omos. And Omos has really silenced a lot of people out there, the doubters. Every time, you know, he has a high-profile match, the last three, Braun Strowman, Brock Lesnar, and Seth Rollins, he's delivered. He's done his share of it. We also got to give a little congratulatories to Riddick Moss and Emma. They are officially engaged. They will be getting married. We don't know when, but last week he actually proposed and she said yes. So we congratulate both of them. Best wishes to both of them. For all you fans out there of Twitch, check this shit out. Let me give you a better one. Let me fix that. Okay, this looks a lot better. WWE issued a press release earlier today that they announced a multi-year partnership with Twitch. WWE announced the multi-year partnership with Twitch that will see the return of the official WWE channel and popular WWE superstar channels featuring live and exclusive content. And this is all going to start. They're doing a sidecast. They actually did one earlier tonight for Raw on the Twitch app. I have not utilized Twitch. I think I might have gone on it once or twice in the past. Did not, you know, really catch my eye, and it didn't seem like anybody was interested. I mean, you know, we know what Twitch has been, you know. Maybe if I was in better shape, I could sit in a bathtub with my shirt off and draw people's names on rubber ducks. And, you know, that's where I see the Twitch. But listen, I watched Shayna Baszler's stream 2 days ago and, you know, enjoyed it. I watched Dakota Kai's very recently, enjoyed it very much. So, you know, they're actually going to be streaming. So that's a good thing. I mean, that interaction, it's about interaction. That's really what it's about more than anything else. And a lot of these wrestlers like doing this. So, you know, and they're all going to make money. WWE's going to make money. The wrestlers are going to make money. Twitch is obviously going to make money. So at the end of the day, why not? And think about this. You know, when everybody says that WWE cannot do deals with anybody right now other than trying to ink a TV deal, because of the merger and acquisition with Endeavor, they just did a multi-year deal with Twitch. So even though TKO is going to be the new corporation that is going to feature World Wrestling Entertainment and UFC, they're still going to be separate, doing their own separate business dealings. So this is a good deal, not only because it's with Twitch, but it just goes to show you that if WWE could work out deals, as long as you know, Ari, whatever his last name is, Fleischer, Emmanuel, whatever. Ari Fleischer is a politician, right? So Ari Emmanuel, as long as they sign off and they're fine with it because they are the majority, you know, it's 51-49, I think. Yeah, WWE is going to continue business as usual. And the more it feels like business as usual, the better it will be in the end. You know, it's going to feel weird. You know, being a lifelong wrestling fan, you know, since 79, and then there's going to come a time. You know, somebody asked me the other day, is it going to feel similar to like when the Crockett's, you know, ended up leaving WCW and then Ted Turner took over? And it's a, I don't know. I don't know because I was still a very young wrestling fan and I didn't follow the behind the scenes all that much at that time. So because most of us at that time, you know, there was no internet. You had the wrestling magazines and most of them were just, you know, always kayfabe. You really never paid attention to shit like that. So the more it feels like business as usual, the better it'll be as far as, you know, wrestling fans, the overall product and where it goes from here. As I mentioned earlier with ratings, and we might as well get into them now very quickly, and then we'll do a Raw recap and get out of here. Raw this past Friday, 2,563,000. That is up from last week's 2,158,000. The two other aspects of Friday that everybody is buzzing about. Number one, the final 15 minutes of SmackDown almost hit 3 million viewers. I mean, we haven't seen the 3 million number for WWE SmackDown in a very long time. If you remember the first episode of SmackDown on Fox, remember I nailed my prediction, was within 100 viewers, I think. I actually predicted it. And I changed my prediction like 5 or 6 days before. And people are like, why are you changing? I said, I don't know. I just feel. And I actually was within 100 viewers of nailing it. 3 million is almost unheard of these days. The second thing, and it's something that I never talk about, but it's definitely worth mentioning here, the demo. Let this sink in. SmackDown's demo for the 18 to 34 on Friday did 0.73. That is 7 times more than Rampage. That is 4 times more than Dynamite. And that is 25 times more than Impact Wrestling. I mean, you look at sports. Sports does 1 point whatevers. But 0.73 is crazy. The final 15 minutes did like 0.9 something. Like 9.2. So that demo for advertisers, let me tell you something. WWE must be giggling in mud right now. I mean, giggling and shit like a pig in shit right now. They must be ecstatic because when you're hitting these numbers right now, and I wonder if anybody ever stopped to think about it. You know, we all thought the Bloodline storyline right now would have already been almost over. We figured Cody wins at WrestleMania, Bloodline implodes, maybe Usos. Remember, a lot of people thought the Usos would be drafted to Raw. Now you got to take a step back and ask yourself, maybe they intentionally waited for this right around the TV negotiations because they knew this storyline has been so hot that when you do that swerve with the Usos and Solo Sikoa and Jay is going to decide Friday that he's going to align with his brother. As Paul Heyman said tonight, yeah, he's going to choose his brother, Solo. No, he's actually going to choose Jimmy. But you got to think to yourself, maybe WWE strategically took their time and knew that the summer, the TV negotiations, let's hold it. Let's milk it. Maybe that's why they didn't have Cody win yet. Because in order for Cody to win, the Bloodline, Roman, he probably has to lose Solo as well. Roman is going to be a man on a desert island by himself. They could have very well held all that shit off. So WWE would remain hot as fuck during the TV negotiations. Something to think about. Something else I want you to think about too. I got to show you this. All right, the Undisputed Championship, the new belt that Roman Reigns was given on SmackDown. We had the conversation yesterday. I mean, we have cleared up all the questions about the term undisputed. Without getting into everything we said yesterday, the term undisputed has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' championship. If you look up any fucking dictionary, the term undisputed means there's no dispute. Roman Reigns is the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. WWE Universal Champion has nothing to do with World Heavyweight Champion. If he was the undisputed WWE Universal World Heavyweight Champion, then you could say, all right, well, that kind of, he's kind. Undisputed means there's no dispute. He is the WWE. I know it sounds stupid, but that's what it is. That's what it is. So the term undisputed, listen, again, the Tom and Jerry thing. You clear that up and there's no more drama for people to keep milking and keep it going and keep it going. But I got to show you some pictures, okay? I was kind of shocked as to how many people thought the title looked ugly on Friday, thought it looked bad. And I just kept looking at it and looking at it, and I said, you know, I can't be the only person that has realized this. Okay, I want to show you something. For anybody on audio only, I will describe it to you. On the screen right now is a, not high definition, but a very clear picture of Roman Reigns in the back, in thought, holding the Undisputed Championship. Now, there is a little monkey wrench with this title. Remember what I said yesterday, because I'm going to end up being right. I'm just telling you right now. The term undisputed, get used to it. It's part of the new name for the championship. It's like Universal Championship. Remember, they came up with Universal. Like, wait, we have the world, and then we have Universal. It's like, you think about it. Undisputed is the new term that they're staying with. I want to show you a close-up picture of Roman Reigns' championship. It actually says on the bottom, undisputed champion. Okay, there's no dispute. He's a champion, okay? Now, I'm not zooming in necessarily because of the undisputed term, because we've already cleared that up and addressed it. But I kept looking at the title. I kept looking at the title, and I'm saying to myself, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I can't be the only one that has noticed this. How come no one is bringing up the fact that it looks almost identical as Seth Rollins' championship back then? Look at them. Look at them. They're almost identical. Now, what I did on top of it was, you see this picture? The belt is crooked. What I actually did, thank God this program that I use to stream the shows allows me to do it, I actually straightened out the belt. I turn that photo, I turn that some bitch sideways. And that is Seth Rollins' championship. That is Seth Rollins' championship. Here is Roman Reigns' championship. Look at the bottom. Look at the W. Look at the red strip. Look at the square, you know, gems around it. It's the guy, almost the identical belt. The only difference is Seth Rollins' championship back in the day said World Heavyweight Champion, and Roman Reigns says Undisputed Champion. People in the chat room right now are like, their minds are being blown. How is it? I don't see anybody on social media going back and forth. And here, there you go. Here's a side-by-side. The only reason why the belt on the left looks like it was made for maybe Zach Gowen and it looks awfully narrow is because I had to narrow the picture so it would fit. That is the only reason. If you look at these titles, they are almost identical. Race P says he swears Don Tony could solve a murder. I actually almost went into law enforcement as a detective way back when. So my friends, when everybody is like, oh, I don't like the design, I think it's ugly, I don't remember people back in the day saying, you know what, Seth Rollins' championship looks freaking ugly. It is almost identical. Look at it. It is all, look at the lettering of World Heavyweight Champion, and look at it. So what, okay, that's a good question. Basics is, what does this all mean? What does this mean? Undisputed is a term that there's no dispute. Roman Reigns is champion. It has nothing to do with Seth Rollins' current reign as World Heavyweight Champion. The second thing is that when Cody does dethrone Roman Reigns, Cody will be the undisputed WWE Universal Champion. If they want to present Cody with another new championship, they could possibly do that. But I wanted you all to see this side by side, because all they did for the most part was just change a word. That's all they did. That's all they did. Again, you'll show this to people, and I have not seen anybody getting into that. I can't be that smart. Is it the Tom and Jerry thing that I told you earlier? If you figure it out, there's no more reason to blow it up and dramatize it and shoot this down and rip this and criticize this. All right, I just figured I'd show you. All right, let's get into Raw tonight. Raw was absolutely a fun show. Not every moment was spectacular, but it was a fun show. A couple of more Money in the Bank ladder matches. The qualifiers were determined tonight. No surprise. We talked about it last week. With all due respect, the women's Money in the Bank ladder match is turning into one of the most predictable ladder matches in history for WWE. If Bayley and Io Sky qualify this Friday for Money in the Bank, it is probably the most predictable match in its history, because you knew that Becky Lynch and Zoe Stark were going to qualify together tonight, and it was either they both qualify or neither qualify, and they have a match at Money in the Bank. And there was no way they weren't qualifying tonight, because Natalia, the beginning of the end of her career is here. When you put someone in a sharpshooter and they're just chilling in the middle of the ring, acting like, oh, that hurts, and then they somehow could like grab the middle rope and break it and then no sell it like it doesn't even hurt 10 seconds later, either you're an amateur indie wrestler that doesn't know how to fucking sell yet, or it's what we always say. When people are at the tail end of their career, the first thing that goes is their finisher. It's happened for decades. When someone kicks out of the finisher, the first time it happens, you know, and we've had matches where people will kick out of each other's finishers and people like, oh, this is awesome, 5-star match. But you can tell when somebody kicks out and it's like, holy shit, how did he kick out? And then you could tell when somebody doesn't kick out, like, oh, okay, the move doesn't have the strength anymore. And then we would all be like, wow, you know, Jake the Snake Roberts planting someone's head in the mat. You know, when you just drop down 270 pounds of you know, little bit of soft blubber and muscle, whether he is 25 or 45, if you're dropping down with that much weight, it should still hurt the same, and people are kicking out at one. You'd have Snuka would do his splash, and then people would kick out at two. So Natalia today, you see, and this is not the first time, but tonight it was clear. The beginning of the end of Natalia's WWE run is here. And Natalia's had a spectacular career. She's not done yet. You know, she could get one last run from WWE, but there was no way, shape, or form that she was going to qualify for Money in the Bank. And you look back at Saudi Arabia. You look back at her promo that she caught on social media prior to her match with Rhea Ripley. You saw, you know, the triggered, you know, hungry people out there that are in much desperate need of a Snickers bar that were so upset, like, how could you do that on her birthday? Yeah, they kind of like, you know, like pushed her many, many times on everybody else's birthdays. I mean, this is the end of her career. You don't just totally fuck up Rhea Ripley's run because it's Natty's birthday or Selena's in Puerto Rico. You know, you don't do that. This is wrestling. This is sports entertainment. So Natalya, there was no chance that she was going to qualify for Money in the Bank today. And since she wasn't going to qualify and Zoe Stark was, that means by default, Becky Lynch has to qualify as well. Just like on Friday, if Bayley qualifies, Io Sky has to qualify because it's every woman for herself. And that's how you're going to start the end of Bayley and Io Sky as a cohesive unit. It's just, it's a shame that Dakota Kai got injured because Dakota Kai would have been a very important aspect of that split. She can't do it obviously because of the injury. So let me give you the rest of the ratings for this week. I'll go through it quick and then we'll get into Raw. By the way, Stone Cold Takes on America. Last week it did 224,000 viewers. The rating actually just came out, but I didn't have time to look it up. So I will have to give that to you later this week. I don't think anybody's going to lose sleep. It did like 250. SmackDown, as I said, did 2,563,000, way up from last week's 2,158,000. Wednesday, for Wednesday Night Dynamite, I'm going to upset some people. And it's not that I don't care, but I have a right to express my opinion. Rampage, this past Friday, Championship Friday, Bryan Danielson, heavily involved with the idea with Tony Khan to make this past Friday Championship Friday. Four title matches on the line. Rampage, no more playoffs in its normal time slot, went down almost 25%. Last week it was 436. This past Friday was 357,000. DT, how is that fucking possible? How could El Hijo del Vikingo and Zack Sabre Jr. and Commander and Willow Nightingale, oh my God, Shibata, how could they only get 357? Oh, very simple. Very simple. It's what we talked about yesterday. Every fucking championship that was defended is not an AEW title. Everything has got to feel like over the top. We can't just have a match. It's got to be false count anywhere. We can't just have a one-on-one. We can't have Shibata versus Yamama. We have to have it for a championship. Willow Nightingale, what a beautiful story. And I love Willow Nightingale. I always sing the praise. We talked about her yesterday. But she doesn't carry an AEW women's title. She's got a New Japan title. Every title that was defended Friday was not an AEW title. And fans aren't buying into it. You could get a mindgasm for seeing, you know, Zack Sabre Jr. or Shibata. Or at the end of the day, the majority of wrestling fans are not into these guys, no matter how great they perform. Why do you think some stars on off-Broadway that just kill it every single time they go out there, they kill it, but they still only draw 100 or 200 people? Why? I was there. Steven DeAngelis used to be the announcer for ECW, used to run all these off-Broadway plays. I was a guest for a few of his shows. And I went there and I was blown away by the performances of what I've seen for these people. And what it was these were all fill-ins for the celebrities that perform on Broadway. So when you hear your big stars performing on Broadway, if somebody gets COVID, if somebody gets a cold, somebody gets laryngitis, and somebody has to fill in for a day that is not a name, then these are who the people are. And what Steven DeAngelis used to do is they used to do a show and make all the subs the stars. And it would still only draw like 200 people. Why? Because at the end of the day, they may knock it out of the park. But if they don't have that connection with the majority of the fans, you're going to just get those very, 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 very small, hardcore people. They're the loudest noise online. You go online, you think that Shibata should run for president. Like, people just, you see Friday, you saw the emotion on Friday, and it was great. I'm not criticizing it, but let's not get a little bit ahead of ourselves. This is a very, very small, you could blow it up any way you want. You look at that 357 number and you explain. Think about this. You had fans just finished watching SmackDown, blown away by Jimmy Uso doing what he did to Roman. People are just like, holy fuck, I can't fucking believe what I just saw. And you get no bump. I mean, it's like, I always compare, it's like going to a nightclub and you're surrounded by, if you're heterosexual, you're surrounded by hot women or hot guys and you're drinking, you're having a great time, you're surrounded by hot women and it gets late at night and you want to go home with someone and your choices get limited, but you still go home with someone because you're in the mood and everything feels good and this and that. And it got no bump. It went down 25%. You had 100,000, almost 100,000 people compared to last week that were like, nah. How is that? Impact this past Thursday did 126,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 109. And give props to Impact Wrestling. Their numbers still suck. Their numbers should be higher. But their ratings are about 20% up over the last 3 months. Consistently 20% up. That's good. You start somewhere. Now you go try to build 20% from 126, and then you end up like around 150. And then maybe you go from there. So give them credit. New Japan this past week did 55,000 viewers. That is up from last week's 51,000. Dynamite Wednesday last week did 923. That's up from the week prior's 846. There's no All Access right now. There's no MLW right now. NXT last week did 607,000 viewers. That is up from the week prior's 578. And Raw last week, I don't think there's going to be a big spike tonight. Even though Raw tonight was great, a lot of fans that chose not to watch Raw tonight, I don't think their friends were calling them up or texting them or DMing them and saying, you got to tune in Raw. Kevin Owens and Gunther are fucking killing it right now. Holy shit, Seth Rollins, Damian Priest are killing it right now. That doesn't happen that often. So even though tonight's Raw was great, last week they only did 1,611,000. Don't expect that much different. I'd be shocked. I'd be shocked because no Roman was advertised for today. No Usos were advertised for today. Paul Heyman made a pre-recorded appearance, but there was no carryover from Friday SmackDown that was supposed to lead into tonight's Raw. So that's why I don't think the rating is going to be that much different. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about Raw tonight. Raw in Hartford, Connecticut. Fightful reported tonight that it is the highest grossing Raw in the history performing in that Connecticut area. I mean, the highest grossing Raw in its history. I don't know what that means. I mean, I know what it means, but does that just mean like Raw just never really drew all that great and hot? You think about, you know, we're going back 30 years of Raw. Attitude Era, you know, John Cena, Steve Austin, The Rock, DX, you know, even the last 5-10 years. And now? I don't know. It's kind of like, you know, it's kind of baffling when you think of it. It's not like they were in a 30,000-seat arena tonight. But Seth Rollins opens the show tonight. Being a world heavyweight champion has been a nonstop party. And my friends, I don't know how you're going to feel what I'm going to say, what I'm about to say. And I am a big fan of Seth Rollins. I have never left the Seth Rollins train. If anybody tunes in week after week after week, I always praise the fuck out of Seth Rollins. He's always been a little goofy, a little bit of comedic. I don't know what's going on the last week or two. Some of his jokes, it kind of reminded me of Austin Theory from Friday. Not as bad as Tiffy Time from last week's NXT. She was throwing insults. She wasn't throwing jokes. But when Seth Rollins started joking about Finn Balor and Damian Priest tonight, all right, when they came out and Seth is like, where's Rhea? Where's Dominic? Oh, are they making out somewhere in the back? And then, oh, Damian Priest is like, I don't need anybody to beat you tonight. I could do everything myself. Don't worry about them. Worry about me. Oh, what about Finn? Does Finn hold the door open for you when you go out to dinner? Does Finn hold your pee-pee when you have to go? He didn't get up to that. He was like, when you go to the bathroom, does Finn hold? And then Finn interrupts him. I'm like, I don't know, man. This sounded like New Day stuff. And I'm not crapping on New Day. New Day's humor matches them. New Day feels good. Like, booty-os, like, if you didn't gain weight from it, you would take, like, a box of, like, I don't know, something with marshmallows and just eat all the marshmallows. If you could open a box of cereal and it'd be nothing but the marshmallows inside and you could pour a gallon of milk out, you'd Cookie Crisp. You mean to tell, if you would eat the whole box. That's what the New Day's humor is. It's goofy, it's lighthearted, it's supposed to just make you not even think. With Seth Rollins, though, I don't know, he's starting to get a little bit New Day-ish with his humor. And I don't know, just something about it tonight, it just has my eye, caught my eye a little bit. But Rollins, you know, before they came out, bringing up the Twitter exchange that he had with the USA Network over the weekend, when he wrote on social media over the weekend, when was the last time the world championship was defended on Raw? And somebody from the USA Network, maybe like Rain Man, you know, turned around within 2 minutes. Well, Seth, the last time was Big E back on November 21st, 2021. He defeated Austin Theory at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn. Somebody at the USA Network just happened to see that and answer that 2 minutes later. So Seth issues an open challenge online. Damian Priest accepts it. That is our match tonight for Raw. Basically, Seth's promo tonight at the beginning was repeating everything that went on Twitter over the weekend. Damian Priest, Finn Balor come out, and this is where, like I said, they had that little bit of an exchange. They're a little bit back and forth. And, you know, Seth Rollins with these jokes, I don't know, man, you know. And we had a little bit of questionable reactions towards each other when it comes to Damian Priest and Finn Balor. Because when they came out and Seth was joking about Rhea Ripley and Dominic not being at ringside, Damian Priest, like, you don't have to worry about any of them. You worry about me. And then they're going back and forth and they're talking about the match tonight. And Damian Priest giving Seth Rollins a lot of credit. He's a deserving champion, but so am I. He credits Seth for having a set of balls and accepting the challenge. And Damian Priest once again reiterates he doesn't need anybody to help him to beat Seth Rollins. So Seth Rollins issues the challenge tonight. Well, why don't you leave Judgment Day in the back? And Damian Priest is, well, Finn Balor first interrupts, and Finn Balor's like, you don't pick the rules. You don't tell us what to do. And Damian Priest's like, oh, I got this. I don't need anybody to help me defeat Seth Rollins. And Finn Balor is looking at Damian Priest like, you know, what the fuck you doing? And as we saw tonight to close out Raw, Finn Balor actually did come out there. And Damian Priest, a little bit like Roman Reigns with the Usos in Saudi Arabia. Remember when the Usos showed up during the tag title match and Roman Reigns looking like, I don't need your help. What are you doing here? Damian Priest with the almost identical reaction tonight when Finn Balor came out. Only difference was Damian Priest didn't have enough time to kind of like really verbally vent on Finn Balor, because here's Seth Rollins hitting him with the curb stomp and beating him. Plus it was 10:59 and we don't get Raw overruns anymore. So the match is set tonight. We have Damian Priest versus Seth Rollins for the World Heavyweight Championship. Opening match, believe it or not, was Becky Lynch defeating Sonya Deville to qualify for Money in the Bank. And you got to be honest, this was a hot mess. guys in the chat, girls in the chat, guys and gals, and those who don't identify with either, how do you feel about that little tweak to Trish Stratus's theme? I mean, to me, it's like lazy. I mean, Trish Stratus's theme, I mean, I don't want it slowed down because WWE sometimes thinks if they just slow down somebody's theme, that means they're heel. Have you noticed that over the years? Like, they used to do that with few people's themes. They took a theme, and I'm going to probably embarrass myself right now, but they took Trish Stratus's theme. And instead of it giving her new music or maybe a variation of her music, if you haven't heard it yet, we know Trish Stratus's theme for a couple of decades now. I mean, all you hear is that laugh to open up, and you know Trish Stratus is about to come out. How many of you, do you hear this? Oh. Right? Now what they decided to do, they took somebody from the hood. I mean, it sounds like somebody from the hood, and now this is what they, this is what you get. I don't care what you all say. Oh. That's what it is. Next week is going to be, I don't care what y'all think. Oh. What the fuck is that? You don't like change a theme. You don't like add extra instruments. You don't like kind of, they use the same fucking laugh and they took somebody from the hood. And now it's like, I don't care what y'all say. Oh. Dumb. Well, anyway, during the match with Chelsea Green at ringside, and yeah, she kind of fucked up tonight. The referee kind of fucked up as well. I think Vince in gorilla position told the referee, don't eject her, damn it. We don't have time, damn it. Because during the match, while Becky Lynch is taking on Sonya Deville with Chelsea Green at ringside, all of a sudden you hear, I don't care what y'all say. Oh. And at ringside is, well, down the rampway, it's Zoe Stark and Trish Stratus, and they're scoping out Becky Lynch. And they're having a match, and we get a really, really bad moment. Becky Lynch attempts the disarmer. Sonya Deville prevents it and pushes Becky Lynch into the ropes. And then Sonya Deville goes to pin Becky Lynch with her feet on the ropes, and Chelsea Green is holding Sonya Deville's feet. The referee goes one, two, looks at Chelsea Green, looks at the ropes. Chelsea Green's hands are still grabbing Sonya Deville, and Sonya Deville breaks it, falls on the floor, looks confused, like maybe somebody slipped her a Mickey, and the referee's looking at her like all weird and does nothing. And Corey Graves like, wow, the referee showing a lot of leeway to. She fucking did it right in front of the referee for a Money in the Bank qualifier. I honestly think that Vince or somebody went in the referee's ear and said, don't eject her, damn it. We don't have time. It looked awful. It was awful. Chelsea Green didn't know what the fuck to do. I felt bad for her a little bit. And the reason why I also think that they didn't have time was because like 30 seconds later, Becky Lynch with the manhandle slam, 1, 2, 3. Am I wrong? And then after the match is over, Becky Lynch, you know, she is pointing at them. She's pointing at the Money in the Bank. So she advances. So as of right now, we could zoom in a little bit closely. We have two of the six women qualify. Now, remember that also, oh, shit. Okay, good. I thought it almost rewounded. You know, there was some people at Rhyme with Boozer reporting that there was only going to be five people in the Money in the Bank this year, which is not true. But Becky Lynch qualifies and she moves on. Next, we have a backstage segment with Byron Saxton interviewing Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. And Byron Saxton wants their feelings about what happened on SmackDown Friday. And Sami Zayn, you know, basically says, you know, it's really nice to see the Usos do what they did, which should have been done months ago. Well, actually what Jimmy Uso did. And he says, we'll have to wait and see what Jey Uso does, but it's not my problem. And Kevin Owens, we actually said that yesterday. Remember? The Usos are going to apologize to Sami Zayn. Kevin Owens is really not going to be part of it. He'll be there, but he won't be involved in it. So Sami Zayn says, this is not, Bloodline are not my problem. So next thing you know, Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci show up. And Ludwig Kaiser says, that's right. Their bloodline is not your problem. As long as you have those championship titles, we are your problem. And then Kevin Owens, you know, he starts losing it again. I like Kevin Owens. It's going to take a lot for me to start calling it stupid. But Kevin Owens is just over the top pissed off. And he's complaining. He's like, you see, these guys did it again. They broke the unwritten rule. You're not supposed to interrupt people. Blah, 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 blah. And then the next thing you know, Gunther shows up. And Gunther says to Kevin Owens, you know, you need to learn a little bit of discipline. You need to learn some discipline. So Kevin Owens says, I need to learn discipline. There's a whole arena out there that wants to see me kick somebody's ass. You're going to be that person. I'm going to the ring right now. I mean, like, taking a 45 speed record and putting it on 78. Yeah, I'm old. So the match is on. But holy shit, did that match deliver. I mean, I could have took probably like 35 screenshots of everything that went on in that match. If you did not see Raw, go out of your way to see Gunther versus Kevin Owens. If you're a fan of either guy, you got to see it. It seriously might be my favorite match of Raw this year. That's how good it was. And as I'm watching, I'm saying to myself, you know what? You know, with the exception of the Chelsea Green blunder, tonight's Raw is opening up pretty fucking good. And Vince is in the back, and I'm like, if this Raw turns out to be a banger, I got to see what people have to say about Vince being backstage tonight, because they didn't do any I mean, they did do a little bit of bullshit, because towards the end of the match, Giovanni Vinci, you know, climbs the apron. Kevin Owens gets involved with him. Sami Zayn pulls him down first, but then outside the ring, you got Kevin Owens and Ludwig Kaiser going at it. You got Sami Zayn and Giovanni Vinci going at it. Gunther is laid out. Gunther ate a hell of a lot. Early on, Gunther was giving Kevin Owens a beating. Somehow, Kevin Owens was kicking out of everything. Later on in the match, Kevin Owens was pulling shit out, hitting swantons and everything else, and Gunther was kicking out of everything as well. Then you get Vinci climbing a rope. Sami Zayn pulls him off. We get a brawl outside. It ends up with Kevin Owens and Ludwig Kaiser in the ring. Referee sees them, does not eject them, doesn't call for the bell, which is fine. And Kevin Owens ultimately stuns Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig Kaiser falls out of the ring. But then here comes Gunther with the inside cradle. And I loved that finish, because Gunther could not do his normal finish. Like, he had to roll up Kevin Owens unexpectedly to squeak out a win. Absolutely loved that match. This is a time where some interference definitely did not hurt that match. There's been many times over the years we've had matches that were classics, and then at the end you get a DQ finish, you're like, oh, that sucked. Like, it just ruined everything. Tonight, the way that went down made Kevin Owens loses nothing from what went down tonight. And what would go down next in the back? Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle being interviewed and almost immediately interrupted by Ludwig Kaiser and Giovanni Vinci. And the best way I could describe this is, if you remember the night when Matt Riddle had that split screen with Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins talked about Matt Riddle's family, and Matt Riddle's like, what did you say? I'll fuck you up. Remember that night? That Matt Riddle returned tonight. Because Matt Riddle is talking about how Gunther had to cheat to win, and if Imperium is not at ringside, he wouldn't even have that belt. And Ludwig Kaiser shows up and says, you do not talk about Gunther like that. Matt Riddle's like, what are you going to do? Ludwig Kaiser's like, what are you going to do? And Matt Riddle's like, don't touch me. Ludwig Kaiser does it again. He takes Ludwig Kaiser, throws him over a whole bunch of like chess, you know, like equipment in the back. And then he puts an ankle lock on Vinci. Would not break it. All the agents are trying to break. Matt Riddle just loses it. That Matt Riddle has returned. And as we've been saying for the last 6 weeks, you know, Matt Riddle and Gunther is the next feud. That feud is happening. I mean, it may not happen immediately, but that's happening soon. That is going to be interesting. That is going to be interesting. So, excellent, excellent tonight. A lot of segments that actually are clicking. I mean, even this clicked tonight. Ronda Rousey, Shayna Baszler, they're in the back. And, you know, we talked about it a little bit yesterday. You know, if any of you out there that read the transcript of Shayna Baszler being interviewed, who did she get interviewed with? I'll tell you right now. She was interviewed by Peter Rosenberg in Cheap Heat. And Shayna Baszler was talking about Ronda Rousey making demands at the office. Now, again, there's a lot of people that knew the truth of what Shayna Baszler was talking about, but there's a lot of people that despise Ronda Rousey, so they're going to twist it to make Ronda Rousey look, you know, like selfish, demanding, like fuck everybody else, I only worry about me. So when Shayna Baszler was interviewed by Peter Rosenberg, this is what Shayna Baszler said. She says, and I quote, "Ronda is Ronda. She's been main title. She main evented WrestleMania. She still gets one of the loudest pops when we walk out there. This was something she demanded. We've been asking for it forever. But she finally put her foot down and went to the office and said, quote, listen, we've been asking for this forever. You keep telling us after this, after that, after this. I honestly don't know. If she hadn't done that, if we would have ever got to it." Now, as I'm reading this transcript to you, everyone, the net, especially the people that despise Ronda Rousey, were all reporting that Ronda Rousey demanded the women's tag team championships for her and Shayna Baszler. Fact of the matter is, what Shayna Baszler is saying in this transcript had nothing to do with the championships. Ronda Rousey went to the office and demanded that Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler be a steady tag team for the foreseeable future. And the management has been telling her, you know, we'll do that soon. We'll do it after this. We'll do it after that. They would almost, you know, have a little run and then nothing happens. I mean, I know Ronda had a little bit of an injury as well, but that didn't interrupt it either. She was just talking about them being a tag team. Had nothing to do with the titles. But if you read around the net over the weekend, it was twisted to make it look that way. Just like you see what's going on with Lacey Evans right now. You know, if you're very curious to want to know the truth about what's going on with Lacey Evans at the Sergeant Slaughter stuff, when I go like this, you can check out yesterday's show and read it for yourself. But tonight, we have Ronda Rousey in the back with Shayna Baszler. Takes a little jab at Connecticut. But, you know, they are touting their win from last week. And, you know, they will no longer allow the women's division, tag team division, to be an afterthought. They issue an open challenge. And the open challenge is accepted by Katana Chance and Kayden Carter. Now, Mr. Out of Breath, Kevin Patrick, that, you know, we've been joking about that forever. I think people are always starting to figure it out now. Like, why does it always sound like that he needs, like, CPR or he needs an oxygen mask? Tonight it was really over the top with him. But I think he made a claim today that Katana Chance and Kayda Carter have been a tag team for 4 years. It's actually not true. I mean, it's been about 3 years, if you want to, you know, be correct about it. And early on, they teamed once, and then they didn't team for 3 months, and then they teamed again, and they lost a bunch of matches. But they've been a tag team off and on for about 3 years. So that's still a pretty long run when you look at the overall scope as far as how the women's division, the tag team division, is looked at in WWE. But they show up, and they issue a challenge. Ronda Rousey calls it stupid. She appreciates their stupidity of, you know, accepting the challenge. Shayna Baszler calls it bravery. But bravery is negated when we tear your tendons off of your limbs. So they end up having a match. and Caden Carter, Katana Chance have come a long way. I remember those early days where Katana Chance, when she was still Casey Catanzaro and she was dating Ricochet, like everything looked like gymnastics and it just was not working. I don't know what changed or the moment that it changed for her, but the gymnastics shit was put aside and she just started concentrating on, you know, just executing moves and telling a story and doing reversals. They lost tonight, but they won over a decent number of fans. They put on a great match tonight, but in the end, and cool, Shayna Baszler is the one that actually ended up getting the win. She puts a Kira Fuda clutch on Caden Carter. So even though they lost the match tonight, good for them. Good for them. Very, very happy for them. The next segment, you saw this a mile away. Oh, I got to show this to you. Okay. This is important because you realize now that a week ago, Riddle probably was one step ahead. Unless maybe they turn it into storyline and maybe somebody screws Matt Riddle out of qualifying for Money in the Bank. That could happen now. If you look at this graphic, it shows three of the six men who have qualified for Money in the Bank. Right now, it's Ricochet, LA Knight, and Shinsuke Nakamura. Take note, no Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle last week said that he's in Money in the Bank. That's when Gunther wished him good luck, and he hopes that he cashes in the briefcase on him if he wins the briefcase. Well, WWE tonight made sure to show everyone, no, Matt Riddle doesn't automatically get in the match. So now I'm thinking to myself, if either Matt Riddle, you know, is going to have a qualifying match, I think that's pretty obvious. But they may do a swerve. They may end up having maybe somebody from Imperium, maybe even Gunther, costing Matt Riddle his spot and Money in the Bank. And then maybe they have a match for the Intercontinental Championship at Money in the Bank anyway. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. So, but I just wanted to point out that graphic. But next we had this. Now, unfortunately, I couldn't find the screenshot for Bronson Reed, and I wasn't going to start loading programs just to grab a screenshot. But we had a backstage segment with Ricochet and Bronson Reed. Bronson Reed is, you know, talking to Ricochet, and Bronson Reed's like, how did you qualify for Money in the Bank after I tossed you around for like the last or 2 weeks ago? And Ricochet, you know, he's like, you know, my dude, whatever he said. I forget the phrase he used. It was pretty funny. Actually, I got a kick out of when Bronson Reed called him Little Lucky Ricochet. He called him Little Lucky Ricochet, and Ricochet is like, wait, I qualified, you know? What are you talking about? And then Shinsuke Nakamura shows up and reminds Bronson Reed that he defeated him last week, 1-2-3. Remember that Kinshasa to the Bronson Reed's face? That was pretty brutal. So what ends up happening is, you know what's next. We find out we're getting a match between Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura. And I'm saying to myself, wait a minute, we're getting this match and Vince is in the back? But then you realize, oh, yeah, they embarrassed Bronson Reed. We know where this is going. So the match happens for a few minutes, and the next thing you know, while they're sitting on the top rope, they're like, oh, look, be careful, look out. Bronson Reed, technically, if you want to split hairs, Shinsuke Nakamura won by disqualification because Bronson Reed squashed him first. But it's up to the referee's discretion, and the referee decided to rule the match a no contest. Bronson Reed shows up, squashes both, hits the tsunami on Ricochet, and those evil fans. Wow, I'm waiting for those whack jobs online to say, wait a minute, look what they did with Bianca Belair. The fans booed against Bianca Belair. They look at how they treated Montez Ford on SmackDown. Tonight, after Ricochet gets squashed, they're chanting one more time. Do you see a pattern? That's the phrase online now that you just want to just slap people in the head. cherry picking people who are getting jobbed out. Throw LA Knight in there for the last 6 months. Do you see a pattern? No, I don't see a pattern. So anyway, Bronson Reed, Tsunamis, Ricochet, and the fans are chanting one more time. They're not really chanting about Ricochet getting squashed. They want to see the Tsunami on Shinsuke Nakamura. Bronson Reed's like, I ain't fucking listening to it. I don't care what you think. I don't care what you say. I'm not going to squash another person. So he just leaves. He leaves. We have comedy coming up very, very soon. We're going to start seeing training videos of Alpha Academy training Maxine Dupree to wrestle. She's going to be taking on Valhalla in the very near future. Chad Gable tonight. He's Otis. He's Otis. He's Otis. He's Otis. And Otis, excuse me, Otis, he's like, tomato, tomato, Otis, Otis, whatever. So they're kind of in sync, and they're going to now do training. We're going to see training videos, training Maxine Dupree to wrestle. I think we know where this is going. The Viking Raiders, stick a fork in them, seriously. Stick a fork in them. Hope that fire and those skits didn't get burned out because they're going to need it. Miz TV tonight, we talked about it a little bit earlier. Miz is out there with Cody Rhodes. And Miz is like, you know, you call out Brock Lesnar, that you're going to call him out in any building, any state you're in. Isn't that kind of stupid? And Cody's like, first question, huh, Mike? And the Miz is like, when I'm out here, I'm not Mike. My first name is The, and my last name is Miz. The Miz. So Cody's like, The Miz. And they're exchanging some back and forths. And the next thing you know, Cody doing a tiny balls thing. Hey, somebody said what I did was crazy. Somebody even said it that took balls. Tiny balls. You know a little bit about tiny balls, huh, Miz? Mr. Miz? So Cody says that Brock is back in hibernation and won't be there for a while, seed planted. Miz, though, has a surprise for Cody. He's going to bring someone out there who shares the challenges, just as Cody, as a multi-generational talent, he brings out Dominic Mysterio with Rhea Ripley. Dominic getting booed out of the building. And Dominic is out there because Dominic realized that Cody is just like Ray. He's a deadbeat dad. You should be home taking care of your daughter. You're a deadbeat dad. So Cody gets on the mic, and Cody starts taking shots at Dominic Mysterio. Cody has empathy for Dom. He says, you know, that 15 minutes of hard times in that prison, I have empathy for you. In fact, your prison tattoo is even worse than mine, taking a little joke at his own tattoo. He says that the WrestleMania match between Dom and Ray was more of like a spanking. And Cody admits that Ray is not the perfect father. And Ray has made some mistakes, some terrible mistakes. In fact, Cody's looking at one of them right now. And the crowd is like, burn. It's like that animated file online. You ever see that one with a bunch of people in the hood and it just keeps repeating itself? And you see the guys like, and it just goes, you know the one I'm talking about. That was like the perfect animated file tonight, the GIF, whatever that is. So Cody burns Dominic. So Dominic sneaks a slap at Cody. He slaps him right in the face. And Cody gets up, and he's looking, and who, once again, Rhea Ripley, you know, with the men, right in the men's face, because we know that the men are not, can't do anything. So Dominic and Rhea Ripley, they slowly back out of the ring, and Dominic playing the chicken shit tonight. I enjoyed it. And Cody, in frustration, turns around and nails Miz with his cast. Late tonight, Brandi Rhodes went on Twitter and said, Papa won't hit Mommy, but Mama will. So Brandi Rhodes teasing that she would lay her hands on Rhea Ripley. Will that happen? I don't think so, but hey, you never know. You never know. Next, we had, as we said earlier, the second Money in the Bank qualifier, Zoe Stark beating Natalya. Natalya had her knee, one of her left knee taped up a little bit. She was favoring the knee. And during the match, the crowd was dead. Let's be honest. Trish is outside, and with the referee distracted, she clips Natty's knee. Natty early hitting the sharpshooter. But, well, I know somebody tonight's going to say, well, maybe she didn't get all of it because maybe the knee was bothering her. No, that's not what it was. But anyway, Trish Stratus clips Natalya. Natalya's in pain. The referee doesn't see it. Zoe Stark hits the Z360, gets the win. So now Zoe Stark qualifies for Money in the Bank. So now we officially have three people in the women's Money in the Bank match. When I give you the update, you know, I think we're going to get a second chance match. We may get a second chance match. I think that may end up happening. But after this segment, this is, I believe, where we had... Did we have Paul Heyman come out next? Yes, we did. Paul Heyman came out. And well, actually, it was a pre-recorded segment with Paul Heyman. He's in the back, and he wants everybody to tune in Friday to SmackDown. Because this Friday, Jey Uso makes his choice, and this Friday... He will choose his brother, Solo. And he says, and yeah, this was very scripted. You could share a womb with your twin, but you will never be closer in your life to him as you are with your tribal chief, and Roman Reigns. And this Friday on SmackDown, Jey Uso will acknowledge that fact. So Jey Uso will make his decision Friday. For all intents and purposes, he will choose his brother Jimmy. That will lead to the tag match, possibly at Money in the Bank. I know some people will complain, that's two premium live events in a row that Roman didn't defend his title. I don't know. Let's see what happens. Let it play out. But that's what happens on Friday. Be interesting to see what that rating is on Friday. So next, we had In This Year. Match really never started, although I think they won due to referee stoppage. They took on Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander, beat the fuck out of both of them before the bell started. And I think the bell actually did start. The referee just decided, you know what, Cedric Alexander cannot continue. And In This Year, being the heel assholes that they are, they hit their finisher on Cedric Alexander after the match was thrown out. So now we have your main event tonight, Seth Rollins retaining the World Heavyweight Championship over Damian Priest. And just like the match earlier with Gunther and Kevin Owens, we could have taken 30, 40 screenshots of this match. Whoa. Why did that happen? I guess I can't show you. I had other pictures. Actually, I can show you. I had other pictures, and I will put them up right here. See, I could do these pretty fast. This describes what this match was. Seth Rollins and Damian Priest definitely should have a rematch. I enjoyed the fact the crowd acknowledging Damian Priest. Let me tell you something. His match with Bad Bunny, I mean, he lost that match. And Damian Priest is losing a lot more matches than he should if you really think about it. But Damian Priest, very, very quietly, is winning over all the fans. And listen, he was babyface before. Remember, he teamed up with Bad Bunny back in, you know, not too long ago, a couple of years ago. But Damian Priest, he is really starting to get the push. The thing is, though, is what title is he going to get? Could he possibly end up dethroning Gunther? I don't know. I mean, yesterday we were talking about who would dethrone Gunther. Damian Priest's name never came up amongst anybody. But they put on a banger of a match tonight. And let me tell you something. Seth Rollins is strong. But there was one moment tonight that if you're... I mean, look, I'm not a wrestler. I mean, I've done managerial shit. But anybody that's in wrestling, I guarantee you're going to be talking about this tonight. There was a moment where... Seth Rollins picked up Damian Priest to suplex him. Damian Priest went to reverse it into his own suplex, and somehow Seth Rollins it looked like he picked up Damian Priest like dead weight, picked him up and then dropped him. And, you know, he's deceivingly strong, Seth Rollins. I mean, you know, he's just, they killed it tonight. Damian Priest doing a Huracanrana during this match. Somebody as tall as him. Now, I don't know exactly what his height is, but he's not Rey Mysterio height. But they put on a banger tonight. And really, this could have gone either way. I mean, we all knew Seth Rollins was retaining. There's no way. In fact, early on tonight, Seth Rollins taking a shot at Finn Balor. Damian Priest tells Seth Rollins at the beginning of the night that, you know, you're going to have one of the shortest reigns in history when I get through with you tonight. And Seth Rollins, you know, right at the end of his promo before we go to commercial, Seth Rollins throws in the dig that my title reign is already a lot longer than his. You know, because remember, Finn Balor unfortunately had to give up the title when he won because of injury. And during this match, man, Seth Rollins hit a buckle bomb to Damian Priest and threw him outside the ring into the padding along the, like, where the fans are, and man, that looked vicious. Damian Priest was bumping like crazy, flying over the announcer's table. I mean, this easily could have been a pay-per-view quality match. Let me tell you something. You know what's sad about it? I don't do match ratings, and I know about the Meltzer ratings. I mean, I see what goes on out there. I mean, it's pretty obvious. What's sad about it is that if you would have had the identical Gunther-Kevin Owens match on a premium live event / pay-per-view, if you would have had the identical match you had tonight on a premium live event, and you would have had Seth Rollins versus Damian Priest tonight on a premium live event, as dumb as this sounds, they would probably get a higher star rating than Raw. Because it's free TV, because it's perceived that it's regular television, it doesn't feel as important. Like, nobody expected Gunther versus Kevin Owens tonight. It wasn't advertised. So we get the match. It ends up being a classic. But because it's Raw, it doesn't feel as important. It doesn't feel like a pay-per-view match. You would have had that identical match on a pay-per-view. 4.5 stars. I think a lot of people, 4.75 stars. You know, it may not be a 5-star match, Gunther versus Kevin Owens, but it might be one of the closest to not get it. But because it's Raw, oh, 4 stars. You know, that's how it goes. Psycho says Damian Priest is 6'5". 6'5". Doing what he was doing tonight. And if you have never seen it, I unfortunately don't have the screenshots. If you've never seen it, you got to look at the photos of Damian Priest when he used to wrestle in the indies, when he was heavier. It'll blow your mind how Damian Priest used to look. I mean, he makes me look skinny. If you look at his pictures of him on the indies, I look skinny. That's, you see him in the indies, you'll say, that's fucking Damian Priest. And it's not that long. I mean, look, he was in NXT, so it's, you know, it's got to be at least 10 years. But you got to see it. Talk about a guy who totally transformed his career, his life, everything about him. I'm telling you, he's going to be a player. But you got to figure out, how does he win gold? Everybody wants to see him win some type of gold. The question is, what? Tag team title? I don't know about that. You know, Intercontinental Championship for Gunther? You know, would they do that? I don't know. It doesn't feel like Gunther's losing that championship anytime soon. So you're kind of in a bad situation. Like, what belt could he possibly get right now? You know, if Austin Theory was still on Raw, maybe he could defeat Austin Theory. So, but, and in the end tonight, Seth Rollins with the pin. I appreciate everybody who keeps saying, oh, Seth Rollins' gear looks like Jake the Snake Roberts from 1996. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Seth Rollins has been wearing leopard for a while, and he wears blue, and he took the two together. I understand the color scheme is similar, but it's not the same. It's not. Hey, Hey, for all we know, maybe Seth Rollins did do a tribute to Jake Roberts, but I'm not aware of one, and Seth Rollins has been wearing these colors off and on over the years, and the leopard. So, but that was your episode of Raw tonight. Again, I enjoyed it tremendously. Main event results, Candice LeRae over Xia Li. We did have a vignette tonight, Johnny Gargano, underdog, basically talking about, you know, that you work hard, you keep at it, you know, bringing up his NXT run and, you know, showing early days of Johnny Gargano when he first got signed with WWE. You know, they're going the underdog route, like nobody expected to me to be here and this and that. I thought the segment was good. I don't know where it goes from here. I don't, but it was a good segment. Johnny Gargano is definitely a decent star. Unfortunately, where that ends up on the food chain on Raw, you know, that's where. Listen, the vignettes are fine, but if WWE keeps doing backstage segments with him, with Indy Hartwell and Dexter Lumis and Candice LeRae, you know, think about that. That they keep utilizing him for segments like that, but then the same people that make that decision are making a decision to do a vignette talking about the underdog. So WWE, have him start delivering in matches. So, all right. So as I was saying, Candice LeRae over Xia Li, Apollo Crews over Akira Tozawa. Those were your main event results tonight. Now, as far as the men's Money in a Bank match, we have Ricochet, we have Nakamura, we have LA Knight. Riddle is not on that graphic, so Riddle is unknown right now if he'll end up qualifying or being in that match at all. There's three spots open. Now, on the women's side, this is why I think you may have a second chance spot for Money in a Bank, because Zelina Vega qualified, Becky Lynch qualified, Zoe Stark qualified. On Friday, we're going to have Bayley versus Mia Yim. And I think we all kind of feel like Bayley's probably going to take it. And Io Sky versus Shotzi. And a lot of us feel, especially if Bayley wins, Io Sky's got to win as well. So that's five of the six. The fact that after Friday, we will have five of the six spots filled, that tells me, I think the following week, they're going to do a second chance match with everybody who lost their qualifiers, and whoever wins that match will have the last spot in Money in the Bank. And if they do that on the men's side, we may get Montez Ford in it after all. Because we had an interesting conversation Saturday about the crowd reaction towards Montez Ford on SmackDown. It was not anti-Montez Ford. It was anti, you know, latest treatment towards LA Knight. That was the crowd, their frustration. So, but that was Raw tonight, and that is your updates as far as Money in the Bank goes, and we'll see what happens as far as SummerSlam with Brock Lesnar and Cody Rhodes. But, you know, when you really listen close to what Cody said and Miz bringing it up again, and even Cody later on that he's going to be out for a while, that Brock's not going to be around for a while, they're planting the seeds that Cody is going to keep calling him out, keep calling him out. And Cody's going to have to say more vicious things, and he's going to have to put something on the line or say something really awful. I don't know if they go there by bringing up Brock's wife, Sable. She is off limits when it comes to, you know, the WWE. But something is got to push Brock, unless, just hit me, could we see a segment where Cody Rhodes, if he's not going to show up here, I'm going to show up there. Maybe Cody Rhodes shows up at Brock Lesnar's ranch. Maybe Cody shows up there and does something to Brock there. Fight me. We'll see. We will see. But like I said, you know, let it play out. I don't, you know, the Dominic Mysterio stuff, if they're not going to fight until SummerSlam, Brock and Cody, you know, what's wrong with having Cody smack around Dominic for a little bit? Like, really, does anybody really object to that? I don't object to it. You know, again, it's like the draft stuff. We know that the whole WWE banner is one company. You know, we're watching sports entertainment. We're not watching two totally legit separate brands. And I, for the life of me, I don't understand why people would get angry that AJ Styles wrestled on Raw last week. We got to see AJ and Seth team up. That was pretty fucking cool. You know, it's like, okay, because it's the draft, no, we can't have that. You know, like, seriously? Like, entertain me. Entertain. Don't give me a hard draft and don't deviate from it and then it sucks. You know, you could give a little bit. It's like being on a diet. You sneak a cookie here and there. And you may not lose 10 pounds. You might lose 8. You're still on the diet overall, but you get a little sweet, a little treat here and there. It's not a big deal. That's how I look at it. And again, with the Vince McMahon stuff tonight, we had a good episode of Raw. So whether he was there or he wasn't, whether he was in a gorilla position or he was in a 69 position with a significant other, whether he was in the back or he was broke back, you know, like, I don't care. I had a good episode of Raw tonight. That's what should matter. So, all right, I'm going to jet out of here. Before I do, let me give you two previews for NXT. NXT is going to be loaded tomorrow. I didn't realize how loaded NXT is going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow we have the Women's Battle Royale to determine who is going to be taking on Tiffany Stratton for the NXT Women's Championship. We're going to have Mustafa Ali. He's got the SmackDown qualifying match, right? Yeah, for Money in the Bank. I think he gets a SmackDown qualifier. So he's going to be on SmackDown. I think yesterday I might have said he was going to be on Raw. So he's going to be on SmackDown this week in a qualifier. And he's going to be on NXT tomorrow taking on Joe Gacy. Blair Davenport. Yeah, I know. It's kind of was a disappointment. But she's going to take on Taya Valkyria. We are going to see Ilya Dragunov. And I hope, no one else has talked about it. I hope they have Dijak and Ilya team up as a tag team. I want to see them team up and go for the tag team titles. Absolutely want to see that happen. We're also going to get the Schism versus the Creed Brothers and Ivy Nile. And, yeah, I think the Dyad, you know, Ava Ray, I think they're going to lose. It's a shame. They're going to be gone in October, and WWE is making sure they lose to everybody. They are losing to everybody. And then we're also going to get Eddie Thorpe versus Damon Kemp. And they're going to continue the Free Tony D. Free Tony D. They're trying to trademark that. Free Tony D. By the way, speaking of Free Tony D, I made the announcement Saturday. I made the announcement yesterday. Got to make it again here since not everybody tunes into every show. I have decided that we're not going to put everything subscription-based. Shows will remain free for those that want it here. You just have some extra commercials. We got to start paying bills. And unfortunately, you know, the video side of things is not as big compared to the audio side. And at the end of the day, cannot put myself into, you know, big debt once again. We did that for many, many years. Can't do that anymore. But so technically here, it's free, Tony D. So that will remain as it is. AEW on Wednesday, Orange Cassidy will be defending the International Championship against Swerve Strickland. Everybody, including yours truly, thinks that Swerve Strickland may actually have a shot. You know, I don't know. Would Tony Khan dare take the title off Orange Cassidy? I want Swerve to get it, but what we want, what they want, you know, it's two different things. Ricky Starks will be taking on Jay White. Take a look at the top. Juice Robinson and FTR are banned from ringside. What that tells me, oh, somebody else is going to show up, and they're probably going to be part of the Bullet Club Gold. Yay! Could see that a mile away. I might end up being wrong. Might not be. We're going to have, because, you know, regular tag team match is not good enough, we're going to have a Texas Tornado. Jack Perry and Hook. Remember, that's the same Jack Perry that in January did an interview on Dynamite and says, you know, I want to go for titles. You know, my tag team, I'm not a tag team wrestler. My tag team wrestling is over. I want to go for titles. He is tag teaming once again with Hook. They're going to take on Preston Vance and Drelistico. You know, because everybody demanded that. And we're going to hear from MJF. MJF is contractually obligated to be there. So Wednesday night Dynamite, I will record it Wednesday. I'll probably record half the show early and then do the other half right after Dynamite. So it'll be online for everyone by midnight. And I will talk a little bit further what I said earlier about, you know, AEW utilizing other people's championships. That's, you know, you saw the ratings reflected that on Friday. And what else? Tomorrow on Patreon, it'll be a normal Patreon episode. Next week on Patreon, Kev and I may be doing a live Q&A Patreon together. So that'll be on Patreon. That's the Patreon show. If you're a channel member here, you get it also. But that may happen next Tuesday. We're not sure yet. I will be putting up a poll in the community section to have everybody vote for the last Sunday in June. Do we do a sit-down episode or do we not? Because Forbidden Door is happening. And not everybody is interested in watching Forbidden Door. So I'm going to let you all vote and we'll go from there. Kavan says, also don't forget about Cokehead Con with another announcement. Oh, no, I have no problem with that. I actually do have, I think I have the graphic. I thought I did. Yeah, Tony Khan, that's right. He's going to announce, let me see if I have it here. I may have it here. Just give me 1 second. I'm pretty sure I took the screenshot of it because I thought it was pretty important. Let me see. Yeah, I do have it right here. Yeah, this is going to happen on Dynamite also. Tony Khan will announce the first main event match for Collision. I think it's going to be Samoa Joe versus CM Punk. I don't think any Ring of Honor TV championship is going to be on the line. But, yeah, I think it's going to be CM Punk versus Samoa Joe. Maybe it's not. But, listen, it makes sense for CM Punk to be in the main event. Collision is 2 hours. You want the fans to stick around for the whole 2 hours. So you put CM Punk in the main event. The big question is, who does CM Punk face? Nothing personal, Lee. But as long as it's not Lee Moriarty or Aaron Solo or QT Marshall or some dumb fuck, you know, from Osaka. Yeah, as long as it's not anybody like that, that's fine. You know, give me a strong name. I mean, yeah, I mean, you're probably going to have, you know, that person lose. And Samoa Joe is a champion, but I think CM Punk and Samoa Joe, I think everybody would absolutely like to see that. I wouldn't mind seeing it. So, Benjamin, I'm going to talk about Saturday and ratings on Thursday's Q&A. That is a question that has been asked. So I will talk about that. I have a pretty good idea what I think the ratings are going to be. But first of all, here right now it's almost 1 a.m. And tonight we talk about WWE. We save AEW for Wednesdays and Q&As and shit like that. But Thursday on the Q&A, and that'll be available for everybody, I will talk a little bit about the ratings, what I realistically think that they will get. Do they break a million the first night? It's going to be close. After that, there's no way Saturdays will do bigger numbers on average than Wednesdays. It's not going to happen. Not on a consistent basis. And it's going to be a big challenge because if Saturdays are going to be the way they're portraying it, you're not going to see as many gimmick stuff. But yeah, we'll talk about that on Thursday. So, J-Dub, I talked about it earlier with Finn Balor and Damian Priest right at the beginning of the show. Just rewind the show to the beginning. I think in the end, if JD McDonagh ends up becoming a member of Judgment Day, I think one of those two guys could be forced out, which doesn't make sense. I personally think, and I will say this now that I didn't say earlier, you do not need to eliminate, to add. Like, they got rid of Edge, but they didn't add anybody, if you think about it. There's no reason to boot Finn Balor or boot Damian Priest if you want to add JD McDonagh. When JD McDonagh settles in and he's got a little bit of a momentum, maybe they even do something where JD McDonagh starts acting like he's the boss of everything, then you can push out Finn Balor or push out Damian Priest. I kind of think that Damian Priest might be the one to be pushed out more than anything. But there's no reason to eliminate someone else just to put J.D. McDonough in there. You know, let him get acclimated. Let him get a connection with the fans. Let him get a reaction. You know, we loved his work in NXT, but the NXT audience and the main universe, two totally different audiences, as we all have noticed. So, all right, everybody, I'm out of here. Much love. Oh, one last thing. If I went off the air without plugging this, I'd be pissed. This Week in Wrestling History drops tomorrow at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. This is a big episode. This is not a joke. It is the anniversary of Roddy Piper smashing one coconut, two coconuts, three coconuts. And while I do that, yeah, look, I got my Hot Rod shirt right here. This is a legitimate, authentic Roddy Piper shirt from, what, 1984? I haven't hung it up yet. But, yeah, so we celebrate the anniversary of Piper smashing the coconut. It is the anniversary of the Outsiders forming Scott Hall and Kevin Nash in WCW. It's the anniversary of Brian Pillman and ECW. Not only that, oh, you got to see this. This is worth a look. Not only CM Punk becoming World Heavyweight Champion, remember Mankind confronting Jim Ross. Remember those interview segments on Raw? And then Mankind started giving the mandible claw to Jim Ross. Look at that news article. Did you ever see that before? No, you never did, because I had that. Sandman, at an ECW event, decided to expose his genitals. And it was covered in newspapers, and I actually have the newspaper, covered the story. But look at Jeff Jarrett. Look at Jeff Jarrett. This was right before NWA TNA had their first event. Look at Jeff Jarrett's hair. Look at him. What look was he going for in 2002? Look at, did you ever see that picture? Have you ever seen Jeff Jarrett look like that before? He looks like he's trying to model for a magazine. Look at him. His titty is almost hanging out. His whole shirt is unbuttoned. Look, he looks like he's going to be in a 70s club. But, oh, we're not done. It's the anniversary. Look, Daniel Bryan getting fired from WWE for choking Justin Roberts. CNBC firing JBL for doing a goose step. WWE issuing an apology for JBL's actions and then deletes the apology. Vince said, fuck that. We're not sorry. Matt Hardy. Look at that. Matt Fact. Matt is taller than Rey Mysterio. We got some Money in the Bank history there. I'm telling you, this week's episode is freaking loaded. It is loaded. One coconut, two. If I think too hard, see, like I used to do a great Roddy Piper impersonation, but if I think too hard, Roddy Piper starts sounding Chinese or Japanese. After a while, you'll hear me go like, one coconut, two coconut. So that's why I don't do it that often. But definitely want to check out this week's history episode. This one was a lot of fun to put together. So, all right, guys, leave a comment. As you saw over the weekend, I answered quite a few. I will do more tomorrow as well. If you're a member of our Patreon family, patreon.com/DonTony, I will be live at 10:05 tomorrow, right after NXT. And if not, Wednesday around midnight, I will have Wednesday Night Dynamite available online for everybody. So look out for that. And then Thursday, we have the Q&A. And then the weekend is here. So can't come fast enough. Be well, everyone. Much love. Thank you, as always, for the support. Talk to you all soon.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.